I'm going to guess there's no head-to-head first-line trial with ibrutinib versus venetoclax?
No.
Would you like to see one?
I think the talents of the drugs are different. I think venetoclax, like I said, is very, very potent at reducing the bulk of disease. And I think venetoclax, if we're going to have a discussion about having a treatment-free interval, venetoclax is a drug that may allow us to do that. Ibrutinib is a very effective drug at controlling the disease. It doesn't get patients into good deep remissions. So they don't, it's very, very effective at clearing lymph nodes and reducing the size of lymph nodes, ibrutinib is. And so that's a talent that that drug has that probably is less so with venetoclax. Venetoclax is highly potent at clearing blood and bone marrow. So in terms of the location of activity, I think they're complementary drugs. And I think what we need to conceptualize is using them together in order to get patients in good deep remissions so that we can talk about getting them in a treatment-free period, in a deep remission, and allow them to be off treatment for extended periods of time.
You mentioned your trial looking at ibrutinib combined with venetoclax. What about sequentially? Is there any interest in that?
I am not aware of any trials that are doing that. The trial that we have in the pharmaceutical-sponsored studies are 3 months first of ibrutinib, and then we add the venetoclax, and that's to allow for some debulking of the disease before we start the venetoclax, and in hopes of reducing the risk for tumor lysis on initiation of venetoclax. But I'm not aware of any trials where patients are getting a period of monotherapy of ibrutinib, for example, followed by venetoclax.
That's fascinating. How many people have you treated so far?
We've treated about 25, I believe.
Wow. Any tolerability issues?
Nope. It's a well-tolerated regimen, and we're encouraged with the early activity.